which are from Psalm 46. Verse 10, cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah. We hear elsewhere in Scripture many times something like this, be still and know that I am God. Or God was not in the windstorm and not in the fire, but in the still, small voice. And it is true that much of Scripture teaches us to silence ourselves, to quiet ourselves, in order to know and experience His presence. If you would, to undo our striving, whether that striving is for personal gain or personal pride or personal power, or sometimes even just striving to do God's will, but running far ahead of Him or lagging way behind Him, or probably more often than not, veering off to the left or to the right. And that counsel basically says, settle down and know that I am God. And I believe that that counsel is often precisely what we need to hear. Last night, family went out to the movies, and later after we got home, I was up in my office, and Isaiah came up. This, for those of you who don't know, is my 19-year-old younger son. And he got, and I got into an argument with each other. Not a quiet argument. And those of you who know Isaiah at all well will understand when I say and when I have said he is the single most persistent person on the planet. He can be very single-minded and really want something really well. And I feel bad for him because whenever you're a preacher's kid, you end up in dad's sermons. But he and I went at it and just argued. Not nicely. And I could not find my way out of the argument. Just could not. And I finally just left the house, got in the car and drove around the block. I just had to get out of there because I was too upset, and I was already too loud, and we were having this heated disagreement about nothing at all, of course, and I just couldn't resolve it. For those of you who occasionally have the illusion that your priest somehow manages himself well and in a balanced way all the time, I hope this disabuses you of any such silly notions. Often not true. I came back home, and Isaiah had gone back up to his room. I did some things in my office. I was trying to work a bit on today's message, some additional work from some that I had done earlier, and absolutely just couldn't do it. I was just way too much in a turmoil. And so I went downstairs and read and puttered around and did this, that, and the other thing, and finally went to bed and absolutely could not sleep. I was just in tumult. My stomach was grinding, and emotionally I was just all bound up. So I got up out of bed and told Vicki I'm going to go in and watch TV. And I went in the living room and sat and watched TV for a long time. This is late at night. Boy, there's a bunch of junk on late at night. It's amazing how bad TV gets. But when you're trying to numb the turmoil inside you, it's one of the many things that we sometimes choose to do that. Didn't work. Just turmoil and turmoil and turmoil. Finally, quite late at night, Isaiah came downstairs. It had to have been 2 a.m. or something like that. And he came in the living room and said, Dad, what are you doing up? I said, you're never up this late. And I said, well, the truth is that when you and I had that argument earlier, it just really upset me. and I'm just all stirred up and I can't sleep and I'm really upset and, you know, I don't know what to do. And he said something like, oh, Dad, it wasn't any big deal. And I said, well, I just want to tell you that I'm sorry for my part of it. And he said, I am too, and it's okay. And then he wandered off to do something else, and I began to settle down. Finally went to bed about 3 a.m., which was, of course, 2 a.m. again, because of the time change last night. And then a little while later, one of the sump pumps in the basement right below me went off and something went wrong with it, and the pipe up out of the sump pump began hitting the furnace. Bang, 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 like that. And I came about 6 feet off the bed, ran down to the basement because I had no idea what it was. It sounded like the whole basement was exploding. Figured out what that was. And, of course, now I've got 4 pounds of adrenaline pounding through my veins. And so I was up for another hour. Well, the adrenaline worked out. So I didn't get a lot of sleep last night. Then I woke up this morning and was praying and said, you know, Lord, I'm just really, I don't know what I'm supposed to preach about in the morning. I said I was trying to seek peace. I'd been praying, even when I went to bed earlier, I was praying. This is before Isaiah and I had reconciled. I was praying and I was trying to find peace. That didn't work. I went to TV to try to numb my emotions and my brain and my heart to find peace, and that didn't work. And everywhere I went to seek peace, it didn't work. And yet I know that there's counsel in Scripture which says, be still and know that I am God. Which says, stop striving and be quiet. Which says, listen for the still small voice. And every time I tried to do that, I was unable. And the reason is because I was foolishly applying exactly the wrong principle to what it was that was going on in my life. Psalm 13, verse 3, turn and answer me, O Lord my God, restore the light to my eyes, or I will die. Or this from Genesis 32, then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. And when he saw that he had not prevailed against him, he touched the socket of his thigh. So the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go, for dawn is breaking. But he said, Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with men, and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked him and said, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it that you ask my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob named the place Peniel, for he said, I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been preserved. Jacob wrestled with God. David shouted to God. There's even one place where David says, pay attention to God. He's praying to God. He says, pay attention. Yeah, if I said, I would be afraid that if I said that to God, I would be zapped like a French fry a moment later. But David, who was a man after God's own heart, did it. Anybody who thinks that God isn't passionate hasn't read Scripture yet. And anybody who thinks God's people aren't passionate hasn't read Scripture yet. And anybody who thinks God doesn't love people who are passionate, and even those that wrestle with Him, hasn't read Scripture yet. We have a passionate God with a passionate people, and when we are in times of travail, the last thing that we're supposed to do is try to be Zen monks. Sitting and trying to find some quiet place inside myself by centering prayer. When I'm in travail, that's the time to shout out to God, I need you. I need your presence right now. I need something. The scripture today from Mark. Jesus with the blind beggar, Bartimaeus. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus from Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me!" And the people around went, "Shh, be quiet, be quiet." And he won't be quieted. He keeps shouting, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me!" And Jesus calls him forward, and he's healed of his blindness. It's important for us to act, to shout out, to ask for God's presence in times of travail. Now, it won't come always the way that I want it. In fact, I'd say it often doesn't come the way that I want it, but it will come the way that God knows that I need it. Now, God was not at all prepared to give me peace until I had done what He commands, and that is to be reconciled. And I hadn't done that. So here I am, seeking peace from God, while being unwilling to act in the way that I know that He's told me to. And I know that when He tells me that I am in conflict, when I am in dispute, when I have wrestled with someone and we have hurt each other, that what He calls me to do is to go to that person and reconcile, to apologize, and to forgive. And it was not until I had done the thing He calls me to do that there was room in me for the Holy Spirit. Now, can the Holy Spirit come anyway if He wants to? Of course. God could turn me into a cow in this instant if He chose. But what He does is He acts in our lives in a way which helps us grow into deeper relationship with Him. He doesn't just always make the owies go away. Sometimes He does. But more often what He does is take us through them, painful as it is, because there's something He's trying to teach us. It's like the scripture that we heard from the letter to the Hebrews earlier. "Do we have to go over the basics again?" Paul says. And the truth is, really, we don't. Everybody in this room, me included, knows the basics. And everybody in this room, me included, fails to act on them. Which is exactly what I did last night. And sometimes God is calling us to act, particularly when we are in conflict. Jesus says, "Love your neighbor as yourself." When Jesus says, "Love your enemy," the word that He uses there in the Greek is an action that we take for the blessing of that other person. We are not intended to be passive lumps. When in pain, we just wait as a passive lump until God comes along and touches us. Now, there'll be times when we are so hurt that there ain't much more than that that we can do. But it's also true that there are times when we have to do something. We literally have to get up and do something. And that often is to move toward one with whom we are in conflict and act to be reconciled. And very often that requires eating humble pie, saying, "I'm sorry for what I did, and I ask for your forgiveness." Because that's what the Lord showed us how to do. It's what He did on the cross. It is what redeemed us. And it is what redeems us day to day, is our willingness to act in the way that He called us to act. And when we do, then His promises and His blessing come. Can He act differently? Yes. Can He do it without us? Yes. But He loves us so much that He really desires that we would be in harmony with who He made us to be. And so very often that means that we must act. We must act to be reconciled, even when we don't desire to do that at all. He asks that we be obedient, and then he comes.